Joshua 3 and Genesis 22. We'll be in Joshua 1st, and we won't be there for just a little while, so just have your place there. Joshua 3 and Genesis 22. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. So we'll get to the scripture in a few moments, but I have to give you some background for this morning's message. And first of all, I want to say to you that there is a narrow way within the narrow way. You've all heard the scripture. Jesus said that narrow is the way and few are they who find it. Broad is the way and leads to destruction. And so we have in the Word of God this picture, and most of us have understood it, and it is rightly so, speaking first of all of our salvation. It is a narrow way, and when you choose to go the narrow way, when you follow Christ in the narrow way, there is a cost. Because not for your salvation, but it will cost you to follow Him. And there will be those who will reject you, and there will be opposition to what you believe. And there will be those who cause you grief, and there will be those, as we have talked about, that will be left behind as you go on with the Lord. But then it is a progression, because there will be multitudes, and there are multitudes in the churches today, who are not following after the narrow way at all. In many, many places, the church has become the broad way.
Yes.
That makes accommodation for everything in the name of the Lord. But if you will follow after Christ, there is going to be, even after your salvation, there is a narrow way. And we began last week without it being planned. And I will open this up in a moment, but God is doing something. He is speaking something, and He is about to do something in this place, in your life. But you're being invited because He will not force you. You're being invited to choose the narrow way in order that you might come out into the glorious broad way of the open vision of heaven, that you might know what it is to know Him in His fullness, that you might have an experience with the Lord. And I do not mean an experience apart from what is outlined for us in the Word of God, but what I mean is the ever deepening revelation of Jesus Christ in your heart and in your life, to live a life filled with the Spirit of God and with power to live, and to go more deeply and intimately with Him than you've ever been before. It is a narrow way. As we began last week, the Lord spoke a word to me first, if you remember, where Jesus went a stone's throw further in the garden, and He was asking you, and we will be building on that and coming back to that today and in the weeks ahead, will you go a stone's throw further with the Lord? Just a stone's throw from where you are now, in order that He might do something new, fresh, radical in your life. And what will it take? What will you have to leave behind? What will you have to change in your life? What will you have to accommodate in order to go a stone's throw further with the Lord? I began last week saying He is always calling us higher and onward, and you never ever stop in your walk with the Lord until you go home to be with Him in glory. There will always be opposition. There will always be problems. There will always be mountains in your way that have to be moved. But there will always be the higher call of the Lord that you would go on to deeper and deeper experiences with Him. And so last week I did not tell you, and I would not tell you until this week, because the Lord admonishes us not to go around boastfully when we fast. So today I will end a 2-week fast, and I only tell you because the Lord has given me the most fruitful time of fasting in at least 15 or 20 years. And He had to do a work in me before He could do a deeper work in you. During this time, the Lord has done a deep cleansing, because revival always begins with repentance, with cleansing. I will come to it in a moment, but He has also laid a heavy burden mixed with joy that you will understand later upon my heart. But the Lord had to take me and break some things. So let me say this, because some of you know me very, very well, and I don't mean this arrogantly. I'm not living in some open sin. And you'll say, if I say the Lord had to bring me from a place of backsliddenness, you'd say, oh, Pastor Mark. Because to you, backsliding means going back to the bar or going back to some area of sin in your life. Beloved, when you begin your walk with the Lord, Paul speaks of this, you begin as a baby Christian. And he delivers you from things that destroy your testimony. And as you progress and grow in maturity, God is always taking you higher and you're always leaving some things behind. He's always working in you and changing your heart. And so it's not to put me on some other level, because we don't grow in levels upward as far as over people, but we grow in our own levels in our walk with the Lord. We keep progressing with the Lord. And so for me, backsliding may not mean the same thing as it does for you. For you, some of you, backsliding may mean returning to alcohol, or it may mean throwing fits, temper fits, or it may mean just doubts and unbelief, terrible times of walking away from the Lord. But for the person sitting next to you, it may mean prayerlessness. It may mean not having the zeal for the Lord that you once had. How many of you know that if you go up on the mountain with God and then you go back down and you don't have any desire for the mountain with God, you've backslidden. Backsliding is to love him less today than you loved him yesterday. And so God had to deal with sluggishness, laziness, spiritual laziness. He's so faithful, I do not for one minute believe that he hasn't brought a faithful word to you on Sundays, because he is God. Amen. Not because of anything in me. But he had to deal with loss of zeal. With, as I mentioned last week, about going a stone's throw further, about when we've walked with the Lord, we've been through enough battles, we want to sometimes settle in and just say, okay, God, I'm glad I'm saved. I can't fight any more battles. And that's where I was. Prayerlessness. Oh, I always prayed for the word for us for Sunday, but not the prayer that I have had in the past. And so God had to do a return to first love in me. I won't go any deeper with that right now than to just go and say that he had me fast first and work personal revival in my heart, and what's available to me is available to you. And during that time, he gave me a heavy burden for the church. I've had a heavy burden for the church at large, with all of the apostasy, the mixture with the world, and the things that are going on, and especially in the American church. But God began to reveal that there needs to be a real cleansing in this church. When I say that, you don't have to think of, all you have to think of is your own self. And as I said, it may be different for you than the person next to you. Whether you've ever walked with the Lord more closely than you are right now or not. Revival always begins with repentance. It always begins with God doing a deep cutting away of the flesh. Cutting away in the heart. And so in the weeks ahead, we're going to have a time of repentance. And the word is going to lead us into repentance. But I want you to understand, because some of you right now, because I know, I've been there. I know right now it's kind of heavy. Oh, brother, now there's going to be preaching on sin and it's going to be this heaviness. And no, because God has been showing me something and he's still showing me. I don't have it all yet, but we'll begin next week. And he's showing me some things about the joy of repentance. And so God wants to do a new work in every life in this place. You know, sometimes we pray for revival for the church. The church needs to be in revival. And beloved, it's always, if people are in revival, then the church, I appreciate it. I believe it was LG when we prayed for the service. He said, establish revival. Revival sometimes in history comes and goes like a wind, but that is not normal Christianity. That is not the book of Acts. It is people responding to a move of the Spirit of God, but God would have it that it be established, that the church is always like it was in the book of Acts, and that we always have the presence of Christ. We don't pray for just a wind to come and leave. We pray for our hearts to be melted and moved and molded by Him so that we climb those mountains until we go home to be with Jesus. We're always going onward, higher, upward. And so God was also showing me some things because He was reminding me of sin in the camp. When there is sin in the camp, then in the Israelites in the Old Testament, if you remember, they could not go forward in warfare or battle. They were defeated. And God was, He's going to unfold this for us, but He was showing me how God deals differently under different contexts, different circumstances, how He dealt with Achan's sin in the book of Joshua, how He dealt with Noah's sin when Noah became drunk, how He dealt with David's sin when he slept with Bathsheba and had Uriah murdered, and how He dealt with Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament, and how He deals with areas of sin in the local church, and how gracious, oh, how gracious He is to deal with us privately before He deals with us publicly. Amen. And if we let Him deal with us privately, it never has to be exposed. But if we resist what He wants to do, then we only invite such destructive things in our lives that it will eventually come out. And it will wound and hurt many, many people. So I pray that you'll begin the work today of just preparing your heart to say, Lord, kind of like at the Last Supper, is it I? Is it I? We all have areas of sin in our life, and God wants to do a new work in your life, but it will not come without a full yielding to what He puts His finger on. But again, not to get ahead of myself, it's going to be with joy. You think, I have thought at times in my life, but if I let God speak, I know something He's going to speak about, and it's going to be taking something away from me, and it's going to be hard. Beloved, when He begins to do something in you and begins to prepare you, if you're a lover of Christ, He's going to prepare your heart, and He is going to ever so easily take that from you and leave such a joy in its place that you won't miss anything that He puts His finger upon. And so I want to begin a second beginning. I want to begin this morning with a question. What do you want? What do you want? What do you want in your life in Christ? What do you want your church life to be like? What do you want your experience of God to be like? Down through history, we always have these two opposing things. We always have this choice before us, and it's as big or greater today than it's ever been in history. That you have options available to you. Always one option is good, and the other option is deceptive. The other option is something that will lead you in the wrong direction. And let me just pose these things for you for a moment, because you can find both in the church in America today. Do you want a faith? And you really need to ask yourselves these questions, because most people will settle for the lesser of the two options, or the worst, if you will, of the two options, because that's what our flesh nature does. Do you want a walk with Christ that is alive? Or do you want dead religion? Do you really want to spend the rest of your life coming to church on Sunday to sing some songs and to give assent to what God says and then to go home, but to live a life of deadness on the inside? Never knowing the power of God in your life, never knowing what it means to be transformed, never knowing what it means to be victorious, never knowing what it means to walk in victory. Dead or alive, that is the choice that is before you. Dead or alive, pretense or power. How many of us spend our Christian lives giving off the air that we walk with God, when in reality it is a pretense and it is surface? And how many would fall into that category where the Lord says on that day there will be some who come before me and they'll say, "We cast out demons in your name." Wow, they must be powerful in God. "We cast out demons in your name. We preached in your name. We healed the sick in your name." And he says, "Depart from me. I never knew you." Beloved, what I was hungering and thirsting for when I entered into this fast was what I have known throughout my life, from childhood, from my first surrender to the Lord in varying levels and degrees depending upon my walk with the Lord. But it is that intimacy with Him. It is to know Him. One of the things that impacted me most as a child was in our little country church when the revival preacher came one year and he preached five nights. We called it revival, you know. He preached five nights of services. And we were used to kind of tame. We had pretty good services at Revival Week each year, but it was a very denominational church. Wasn't used to too much excitement. And this old fellow would come down from the pulpit. You didn't come down from the pulpit. He would come down and stand right in front, and he would just point the finger and say, "Do you know Jesus? Or do you know about Him?" And if there is a hunger and thirst in you for something, it is because you hunger and thirst. God has put it within you to know Christ. Amen. To know Him in ways that you build. I've repeated this so many times. In ways that you build a history with the Lord. And the more you build a history with the Lord, the more you have invested. And when times come that other people fall to the side, you won't fall to the side because you say, "I've invested too much. He's answered too many prayers. He's proven Himself to me too many times. I'm not going backwards." Amen. No matter what it cost to go forwards.
Amen.
So do you want dead or alive? Do you want pretense? Do you want to spend the rest of your life pretensing, or do you want to be able to say, "I am filled with power. I am filled with might by the Spirit of the Lord. I have power within me." Do you want to live a life of defeat or power? Do you want counterfeit or real? In so much of the church world today, you can find what looks real, but if you don't examine it and test it according to the Word of God, you won't know it's counterfeit. Because it preaches a different Christ. A different Jesus. Or, as I have taught many times, a wolf. The Bible says to beware of wolves that come in sheep's clothing. A wolf can come into the church, and it's not that they have to stand up front and preach heresy or something that's wrong. There are pastors in the United States who preach encouraging messages every week after week, year after year, and never say something that is actually wrong, but they never say what has to be said that is right. Never mention repentance. Never mention the blood of Jesus Christ. Never call people to a different walk. Never call people to holiness or righteousness. Counterfeit. Or you want the real thing? And lastly, do you want to walk in the natural, as most of us have done most of our life, or do you want to walk in the supernatural? Can you imagine what would happen if today you walked out of here and you began to know Christ speaking to you? You began to know, have your eyes open, you began to see spiritual realities. You began to hear Him speaking and whispering and leading, showing you needs, showing you things that maybe others do not see. And how He wants to use you in order to do the work that He's calling you to do. Let me tell you this morning, some of you need to hear this. You are not an accident. You're not an accident. You're not the result. You're not an accident. You're not the result of your mother and father falling in love. You're not the result of lust. You're not the result of a slip up. You're not the result of anything but Almighty God saying, "Before the foundation of the world, I knew you. I planned you. You were in my heart. I have a purpose for you. I have a plan for you."
Amen.
Have you ever gone before the Lord and said, "What is your plan for my life?"
Yes, Lord.
You're not an accident, but you are one created to be used by the Lord God Almighty with great purpose. And so we just continue with this stone's throw idea, because every mother in this place needs to go a stone's throw further. Every father in this place. I don't want anyone to think, well, I'm kind of exempt. Every father in this place, how can you raise your children if you don't go a stone's throw further with God so you have insight and wisdom? Every teenager and young adult in this place needs to go a stone's throw further with the Lord if you're going to walk with God. God is doing another thing too. He's giving me some words for some of you, and they will come out in the weeks ahead, and I usually don't do that publicly. Believe me, if it was a correction, I would take you aside privately and say, hey, what's going on here? But it will edify the whole body when the Lord wants to encourage you and speak something to you. In Joshua chapter 3, I need to just kind of, I don't want to go too long today, but Joshua chapter 3, Joshua is about to lead the children of Israel across the Jordan into the promised land. We could study this one passage for weeks, and we're not going to. I just wanted to lift out one thing. It's actually, God's just saying what he said last week in different ways. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. They are about to go into their inheritance. They are about to go a stone's throw further. They're about to go somewhere in God that they've not gone before. God is going to take them into the fullness of what he has reserved for them in their promised land. He's going to take them across the Jordan, which is a symbol in the Bible of death to self, dying to the old life. They've come out of Egypt. Now they're going to leave everything behind, because in order to go all the way with God, you have to leave behind the things of the past. Paul said, forgetting those things behind. If we could just learn that one thing, church. Forgetting those things behind, I press on. And I look forward to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so he's going to take them across into the promised land, and God speaks to them. And he gives them directions. And he tells the people, when you see the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Covenant always represents the presence of God in the midst of his people. It is the glory of God. It is where God met with man. It is the Shekinah. It is the presence of God in reality in the midst of his people. It is in your Holy of Holies within this temple, if you'll look here. Within this temple right here, where God meets with man at the Ark of the Covenant, where he meets with his people. The presence of God in the midst of his people. And they were to go after it.
Yes.
When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Those words are pregnant with meaning from the Holy Spirit this morning. If you're listening with spiritual ears, you should be perking up on the inside when he says, go after it. I have something for you. Go after it. It's always in the Word of God. You have to get up and go after it. You have to go a stone's throw further. You have to rise up and say, I want what God has for me. And so they cross over the Jordan, and it says, arise from your place, or get up from your place and go after it. Some different versions say, move out from your positions. Move out from your positions and go after it. Or remove from your place and go after it. I was pondering on that, and I was thinking about moving out from your positions. Most of you have a position. And I think of it in a twofold way. It can be your position on certain things. Or it can be the position geographically where you are. I'll repeat that. It can be your position on certain things. Some of you may be sitting here this morning and you're like, well, I want to know the Lord better, but you know, it's a very private thing and I don't want to get too excited and I don't want anybody to know because it's just between me and the Lord. Let me tell you something. If you're going to go forward with God, people are going to know it.
Yes.
And you'll see that in just a moment. People are going to know it.
Yes.
How are you going to have light from the Lord? He says, don't hide it under a bushel. It's going to be evident that God is with you. And so you have to remove yourself from your previous positions. Maybe you have a position theologically. Well, you know, these were all big miraculous things of the Old Testament and even the New Testament. It was the apostles doing all of this, but it's not for today. Maybe you grew up in a church that taught those things are not for today. You're going to have to remove yourself from that position.
Yes.
If you're going to know Christ in a deeper and more intimate way. You're going to have to remove yourself from the position that I can design this thing my way. No. I'm going to look at this uniquely because I'm different from everybody else. And I'm going to design me a faith based upon what I see alone in the Word of God. No, you're going to come into agreement with historic Christianity, number one, because doctrine does matter. And you're going to come into agreement with the truth that is found throughout the Word of God, and your life is going to be based upon it. And when your life is based upon this truth, it's going to radically transform you from the inside out. But it's going to go deep, deep, deep on the inside. And you're going to have to leave behind a lot of previously held positions. And for you, leaving besides your physical place, your physical positions, may mean that you have to get out of your bed and pray. May mean that you have to get up off of your couch to follow after the Lord. Let me just insert a little commercial here. Not to take the place of any future men's ministry, but the Lord has laid on my heart something for the men. And I know right now that unless I prepare you, I won't coerce you. But it'll be for those who want what I'm talking about right now, who want something imparted to them, who want to know how to walk with God, who want to know how to go deeper with God. And you will be challenged and you will be held accountable. God has something He wants to do in the men of this church. And you will be invited to that. And there will be, as when Jesus told the parable of the feast, and He sent them out in the highways and the byways to invite people and bring them in. And they said, well, I can't come. I've got this. I've got this. I've got this. We experienced that with men's meetings. I'm going to tell you right now, if you want what Christ has for you, you will sacrifice.
That's right.
And you will make time.
That's right.
And you will go the distance. And you will say, no matter what it costs me, I hear what God is saying in this. And I'm not going to miss out on it. You may have to get up from your place to go after this presence of God. You may have to leave your house to go after the presence of God. You may have to leave the television to go after the presence of God. The ark is the presence of God, the meeting place of God with man. And first, we're not going to read anymore right now, but first he goes on and he tells them, before you cross over, sanctify yourselves. Sanctification is the setting apart unto God. And really simply, I will show you the before and the after here. It's not necessarily the same thing as the repentance and the circumcision that we'll see in just a moment. Sanctification is coming into agreement with God. It's saying, yes, you're calling me, you're desiring for me to live a life that is filled with power and might. And so I sanctify myself under that. I'm agreeing with you. I'll get up. I'll go with you. They had to sanctify themselves and say, we will cross the Jordan. We will do what you said. We will follow after the ark. And we will go into our promised land. They had to let go of everything else that they wanted to do. Some of them wanted to stay right there and camp. But they had to say, no, we can't camp here. God is calling us onward. And so they went forward. But first he said, sanctify yourselves. And then upon crossing, and we're not going to read that either. Upon crossing, after they got over on the other side, then all of the men who had not been circumcised from 40 years before, when they came out of Egypt, all of the males were circumcised. Now there's a whole generation that has not been circumcised. And Old Testament circumcision is a picture of New Testament dying to self, cutting away of the flesh nature, letting God deal with our hearts. And so they come across the Jordan, and he now says, camp here, and all of the males must be circumcised. Before you can go in and fight, before you can have the encounters, before you can have what God has outlined for you. So in other words, as you're coming to the river to die to self, you have to sanctify yourself. You have to agree. Yes. You have to come into agreement with God. And when you cross over, part of that crossing over means now he's going to, on an ongoing basis, he is going to deal with flesh. He is going to deal with flesh. You're students of the word. I'm not going to explain what flesh is again this morning. You're going to deal with flesh. God will always be dealing with the old flesh nature that wars against your spirit. So he calls them to sanctify themselves and calls them to circumcise themselves. And from that point on, listen closely, Israel now had a choice. It's the same choice you have this day when I said, what do you want? They could either follow after God in the presence of God and stay true to him, go after it, or they could go after something else. And what was the pattern in the nation of Israel? The pattern is that they chose over and over to go after something else. They had the very Shekinah glory of God in their midst, but they would always go after something else. And what was the something else for them? It was the cultures of the nations around them. They wanted to be like them. And they wanted to be accepted by them. I will talk about that in another week. When you want to be so accepted by those around you that you will not get up and go after the presence of God. And what happens? They begin to bring in the idols of the other nations. To us, we look back and think, well, that's so blatant. That is so blatant. Why would they bring in the god Molech? And why would they worship Molech, which they did over and over? The church is doing the same thing today, and Christians are doing the same thing. Every time, oh, God help me, I don't have time this morning, but because this message is not about the church at large, but some of you probably think we just harp on how bad the church is. No, God's got a remnant throughout this land.
Amen. Right.
But let me tell you something. Some of you don't understand, especially those of you under 30, you've not lived long enough and seen what we've seen. And now you've got one of the biggest churches out there in California that influence a lot of the music. And we happen to like some of their music. But the more and more we find out the things that they're doing, they've got occultism running throughout the church that they have borrowed. And now one of the ministers has written a book talking about how all of that belonged to God first and it was stolen by Satan and it really belongs to the church. And so they have Christian tarot cards. They've got Christian seances. They've got Christian yoga. They've got all of these things that were first originated by Satan that God in the Old Testament said, this is abomination.
Right.
Have no part with it. And the church in America is being saturated with it. Greater deception than we have ever known. That praise and worship leaders can stand and produce such glorious music to God that churches all over America are just sucking it in. While from their pulpits comes no word, true word of God. Or a word that is tainted with deception. And it's not isolated to what I just said. It's everywhere. And we learn more and more of it every day. It's a flood. It is the flood of filth that Revelation speaks of that the dragon pours out. Turn to Genesis 22. Genesis 22. God wants you to get hungry and thirsty. Hungry and thirsty for what you're missing. So Abraham's great test of faith has come, and he's going to take Isaac up on the mountain. We all know the story. We know it's a parallel of Calvary and the crucifixion of Christ. But I want to just again lift out an element from it. Beginning with verse 1, now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. If you're new to the word of God, we're not going to read it, but understand it was a test that God never intended that he actually slay his son, and he did not slay his son. God stopped him and said, now I know that you love me above all else. And remember that it comes before the law. It comes before, as God is revealing his revelation to Abraham. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. The title of this message is The Fire and the Knife. And the two of them went together, but Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And then he goes on to say, where's the lamb? Where's the sacrifice? Not knowing that he was the sacrifice. Abraham had a word from God. The Bible says, from the lips of Jesus, man shall not live by bread alone. Lord, I pray that you would just cause this word to sink as seed in the soil of the hearts in this place. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. There is a proceeding word for your life. As you feed upon the word of God, as you study the word of God, as you open your heart up to the Spirit of the Lord, there is a word that proceeds from the Father by the Spirit of God, that will direct your life, that will change your life, that will reveal things to you that you did not know. All of the, as we look at the gifts of the Spirit in the New Testament, the word gifts are a proceeding word from God. And I want to ask you this morning, do you have a proceeding word from God? Say, I don't even know what that is. Do you have a living word from God coming to you? Does he speak to you? Does he direct your life? Are you, like the word of God says, studying to show yourself an approved workman? We think of that as some kind of dry. You may not like to read, but I can tell you right now, if you fall in love with Jesus Christ, you'll find a way to get the word inside of you. Amen. If you can't read it, then listen to it. It's easy enough with technology today. Yeah. If you want it bad enough, you'll learn to read it.
Yes.
How many great men of God in the past never read a different word in their life, never were taught in school, but learned to read by reading the Bible. Right. Overcoming incredible obstacles that they might know God and walk with Him. We have no excuses. Yeah. And when we study, as we approach it, we study it as living word. And part of that is learning history, learning facts, learning things that we don't even understand in the Bible. But the more we learn, the more the puzzle pieces fit, the more the Holy Spirit takes that language of God and begins to use it in our lives. He speaks to us a proceeding word. You cannot live by bread alone. In other words, by natural things alone, but by the proceeding word of God for your life. I've gotten to where I don't like the word vision very much, even though I know it's scriptural, but it's used, it's overused, and it's used wrongly today. But do you have a vision for your life? Young people, what do you think God created you for? Do you have a vision for your life? Or is it all just being frittered away? If you don't have a vision for your life, then probably you've never gone to the Lord and asked, why did you create me? Why did God create you? How many of you know that the manufacturer of the product knows more about the product than anybody else? Your maker knows your life inside out, and he has designed good for you. And you would miss it by missing the proceeding word of God. Abraham always has a proceeding word of God coming into his life. That proceeding word of God, I need to do this quickly. The proceeding word of God will lead you into a place of dividing of soul and spirit. I don't have time to teach soul and spirit this morning, but most of you have some foundation in it. The New Testament says God's word is powerful, sharp, active. It is able to divide between soul and spirit. Yeah. It will make distinction in your life. It will show you, it will reveal to you what is flesh, what is your own way, and what is God saying to you, and where is he leading you, so that there is a division of soul and spirit that is taking place in your life. Abraham had a word. He had a word from God, and so he had to proceed up the mountain. He had to follow after God. He had to leave some people behind in order to go where God was taking him. And as he went up the mountain, he comes to the place where he says, stay here with the donkey. In the Bible, the donkey is an emblem of the flesh nature, the rebellious flesh nature. And Abraham said to his young men, and it is important, they are young men. It has nothing to do with physical age, because you can be mature in the Lord as a young man more so than an old man who's never done anything but simply accept Jesus. But there are growths, there are seasons of growth and maturity in our lives, and these represent those who are immature. And he says to them, stay here with the donkey. You stay here with the donkey, the lad, and I will go yonder. In other words, listen very closely. We're almost done for this morning, but the lad and I will go yonder. I will go there with the sacrifice, and I will do what God requires of me. Which means I've got to leave. Don't you know that when Abraham got up 3 days before, went on this 3-day journey, and God had told him what he was going to do, don't you know that everything in his flesh nature was kicking and screaming? Not my son. Not my son. But he was a yielded man. And here we have a picture of leaving behind whatever your flesh kicks and screams about. Whatever your flesh wants to hold on to keep you from going on with God. Leave it there with those who are immature, those who try to pull you back, those who don't want to go any further with you. Leave it there. And he says he went forward with the knife and with the fire. Here is the dividing of soul and spirit when you choose Christ over flesh, because you have a proceeding word from God. The word of God leads you onward. Flesh wants to pull you backwards. The Spirit of God shows you the difference so you see clearly what God is saying versus what your flesh is saying. He went on with God and he took the knife and the fire. The fire is the preparation of the sacrifice. It blazes with the presence of God. The knife is the cutting of the word of God. Sharper than any two-edged sword that will divide soul and spirit. What is God saying to you this morning as an individual? He is saying, not as we misquote. We say, according to Paul, eye has not seen and ear has not heard what God has prepared for those who love him. And we say that about heaven. Eye has not seen and ear has not heard what God has prepared for those who love them. That's not the context. Eye has not seen and ear has not heard what God has prepared for you both here and in heaven. But the next verse says, but God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. Eye has not seen, young people, eye has not seen and ear has not heard what God has prepared for you. Older, mature people, God has not, eye has not seen, ear has not heard what God still has prepared.
Amen.
For you. But unless you're willing to lay down flesh and go further with God, put your heart on the presence of God, knowing Him, encountering Him, knowing the presence of His Spirit in your life, you'll never get up and go after it. Some of you are this close to knowing a deeper expression of God in your life, knowing what He wants, having a powerful relationship with Him and being filled with the Spirit of God, and it's just this tug because you love the things of this world, which will, for the youngest of you, will be gone in a blink of an eye, and you'll be in eternity, and you'll see the vision God had for your life as opposed to what you chose. I can't make you hungry and thirsty, but I'm believing in the weeks ahead that God's going to.
Amen.
In fact, for some of you, I know He's going to.
Amen.
He's going to deal with our sin from continuing with me all the way out through heads of ministries, leadership, all the way down.
Thank you, Lord.
He's going to deal with His church. But He'll deal with each one privately if we allow Him. And He'll fill us with power and might. I've been giving you these prayers for the last few weeks, praying daily. Fill me afresh with Your Spirit. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit. I've been praying that off and on all day long. And God's given me a new anointing. I've never said that to you, so I'm not throwing something around to be flashy like some televangelist. He has radically called me back to prayer and fasting. You need to pray for me, because sometimes I hear something from God and I have great zeal, and then zeal begins. You know, I can't do it on zeal. It has to be the grace and the Spirit of God, because it's not by my works. But God is filling me with things to place on the table for you on Sundays. But that's not enough. That's not enough. You need what He has, the proceeding word for you during the week. What you find in the prayer closet with God. Paul, if you'll go ahead and come, we're going to have closing worship and time for ministry, but I will go ahead and tell you, for many of you, you'll say, yes, 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 yes. And then you'll go to pray. It'll be like, this is so dry, nothing happens. You can't stop there.
Amen.
I'm telling you, there's a reality in God that you can have if you want it. When He knows you're serious. When He knows you're serious. And it may require fasting. To deny the flesh and spend time in prayer for a season. And not to gain anything that's going to cause anybody to look at us. Only give you that private power to walk with the Lord. And then, can I say lastly one more time? The Bible says that when Joshua led the people, God says, and they're going to know that I'm with you. Beloved, when God is with you, people will know it. People will know it when the presence is in your life. Oh, for a church. I've got a wonderful church here. Wonderful people who love the Lord. But I can tell you right now, I'm 62. And God must move. He must move. I'm not satisfied. So He will either bring about a people here who will be thirsty and hungry for Him, or He will use me somewhere else. That's not a threat. I'm just saying. He's put a deep desire in me that you will walk with God. And I'm willing to do my part. So let's stand and let's close in worship. If you need prayer today, I invite you to come. If you've not received Him as Savior and Lord, followed Him in obedience and baptism, then please come. Let me pray with you. Yield your heart to the Lord today and know what it means to be born again. But for the rest, what are you going to leave behind? What's the flesh that's pulling? You might have what God has for you.